Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, food prices in Gaza have surged following the looting of nearly 100 aid trucks, compounding an already dire food crisis caused by over a year of conflict between Israel and Hamas. Fighters from Hamas and other Gaza factions have formed an armed force in a bid to prevent gangs pillaging aid convoys in the embattled territory. We're joined now by World Health Organization spokesperson Dr. Margaret Harris. And Margaret, you're welcome. What impact is this looting? What is, impact is that having on the ground?
Good evening, Sarah. It's really a symptom of the desperation. Getting food in is becoming increasingly difficult. The food security situation is just worsening by the day. Across the entire strip, more than 1 million people have not received any food parcels since July or earlier. And those who have got them are in central and northern Gaza. Access to central and southern Gaza. Mm-hmm. The important thing is the access to northern Gaza continues to be really, really heavily restricted, with only two missions by our partners in the food security sector able to deliver food. And both missions didn't really get in nearly as much as they needed to.
And do we know then, for the food that does get in but that is looted, do we know what happens to those supplies?
No, but one presumes that they end up either going into the black market. You know, food prices are ridiculously high because everyone is starving. I mean, I was just looking at the numbers from our nutrition cluster partners, and they describe at least 29,000 children in the last year have had to be treated for severe acute malnutrition. And that's over, those are quite old figures. The number of children suffering now is much, much higher, but I don't have an actual number because it's getting harder and harder to reach them.
As you say, the cost of food as a result of this looting is really expensive now, about €10 for a sack of flour, milk powder about €7.50. That was before the war. Prices have now risen to about €100 for a sack of flour and €75 for milk powder. So do you have the situation then where even if there is food around for those people who are starving, they simply can't afford it?
Well, precisely. I mean, people have not had a means of getting money. There's no banking. There's no work. I mean, their work, their daily lives consist of trying not to be bombed and trying to scrape together what they can to feed their families. They rely heavily on the aid services such as ours. We try to bring food to the hospitals. But for instance, on the 18th, we sent a mission up to Kamal Adwan with food for the patients. We were denied the bringing in of food. We were permitted to bring in medical supplies, but not the food.
And, you know, Israel denies this. It denies that it's restricting aid to Gaza or indeed turning a blind eye to looting. Have your organisation spoken to the IDF or the Israeli government about it?
Of course, we're in contact every day. For one thing, for every mission we mount, we must go through the IDF. And COGAT is the system that we go through rather than the IDF. It's complex. But every day, of course, we're in contact. And most of our missions are denied or they're impeded or they're simply stopped at checkpoints. So last month, only less than 20% of missions got through, I think 18% of missions. And again, this month, we're seeing the same thing. Very, very few of our missions are permitted, even missions to bring emergency medical teams. I mean, the healthcare workers are so under stretch now. Many of them have been killed in Gaza or imprisoned in Kamal Adwan. A lot of them were detained. So they need to be supported by the very, very brave doctors and nurses and paramedics who volunteer to go in and help. But we can't even bring them in. At the moment, those missions are being denied.
And you know that example that you gave of one aid truck to Kamal Adwan and you were allowed to bring in the medical supplies but not food. What excuse is being given? What reason is being given for not being allowed to bring in food? Or is there any?
Usually, and I haven't I haven't, but usually what we're told is that that these are dual purpose. I'm not quite sure what dual purpose food has, apart from survival. But we're usually given, or no reason, as you say, or we may be held up at checkpoints for ages and ages and ages. And our Palestinian colleagues, quite often, they want to take them out from the trucks. But if they're working with the UN services, we don't agree with this. You know, they are UN workers. So it may be all kinds of different issues that hold up the missions. And the longer any of the trucks are sort of staying still anywhere, the greater the danger as well. Every day, my colleagues working in Gaza face the terrible threat that this could be their last day.
And of course, the US gave Israel this 30-day deadline to make sure that aid started to increase and started to get in. I don't think any evidence was provided that that did happen, but the deadline has come and gone. Did you see any difference?
We certainly have not. And we're just seeing an increasingly dire situation. I mean, 100% of hospitals cannot function properly because they lack fuel, for instance. They do not have power. 80% of hospitals don't have clean water, don't have sanitation, and they're all very much short of medical supplies. And indeed, the entire population is starving.
So in terms of, for example, the vaccination plan for the polio vaccination, Margaret, I know that was underway and progress was being made on that. Has it been possible to continue or to finish that?
We were able to finish that. So it does show it's possible. And it, much of it was possible because of the great goodwill, again, of the healthcare workers, many of who worked for UNRWA, the UN Relief and Works Agency. They went out in the middle of bombardment quite often to make sure those kids got vaccinated. And they also provided vitamin A because that's really important for immunosuppressed children. So they went out to do this because it was agreed, and there was agreed that we would be permitted to do that. And that's all we ask, is that we can look after the civilian population, give them their basic human rights, food, water, medical care.
And do you have any ideas as to what can be done to try and get that agreement at this point, to make sure that the aid agencies can get their supplies in? Is there any avenue that hasn't been travelled down to try and sort this out?
Well, every day we try, and every day we will mount missions, and every day we will advocate. And the fact I'm speaking to you, and I appreciate the opportunity, is part of that. This has got to stop. It is a stain on all of us that we are standing by, the world is standing by, and watching people being bombed, dying of infection and starving to death. And really, the world is doing very little to stop that.
Well, actually, on that point, of course, just this afternoon, we saw that news. The UN Security Council had another vote on calling an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the immediate release of all the hostages. But it was vetoed by one vote, the United States. I don't know, do you have a reaction to that?
Well, certainly I'm not au fait with the machinations there and the work there. But I would say our position has been from day one that the only answer is to end the hostilities, get the hostages home, you know, but stop the fighting, because we cannot solve all the horrendous problems here until there is a ceasefire.
You mentioned your workers on the ground from the WHO really in fear of their lives. What sort of feedback are you getting from people who are working there on the ground?
I have to say, you know, every time I speak with them, I'm in awe. They know they're in great danger, and they like everybody else, are mentally exhausted. They've almost gone beyond fear because their commitment is to the health of the people. And while the threat is a daily threat, they just keep on going. But one of them said, and it's always stuck in my head, you know, every day you think this is the worst day, and then it gets worse.
Have many of them lost family members?
Quite a few, or they have colleagues who have. And one of the other things that's very difficult for the healthcare workers is they don't know if the next lot of people who come in on stretchers are people they know and love.
And of course, in that situation, they're also faced with the, as you've outlined, a collapsed health system. So when people are coming in on stretchers, their ability to treat those people is very significantly diminished.
Indeed, it's getting harder and harder because, again, a lot of the doctors and nurses who are working are volunteers who may be community workers rather than the specialists. So you get to a point where, yes, you can stop the bleeding or you hope, you may not even have enough bandages, but to give that person a chance of returning to anything like normality, you will need to do surgical procedures that they can't do. Or to save their life, you will need to do surgical procedures that you can't do. So you're there as a healthcare worker dedicated to saving life, but without the means of doing it. And that is one of the cruelest things you can do to a person.
I just ask you finally, Margaret, you mentioned how it was possible to roll out that Crucia polio vaccine program with the help of UNRWA. And of course, within the next 3 months under that new legislation being brought in by Israel, UNRWA won't be allowed to operate effectively in Gaza. What will that do if that goes ahead?
We really don't know, because there really is no alternative to UNRWA. They basically provide all the primary health care services, but all the other kind of community services. They are essentially the community service network and infrastructure. There is no alternative to UNRWA.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us this afternoon. That's Dr. Margaret Harris from the World Health Organization.